Sermon study number R2R30. The following message, titled Two Kinds of Rest, was given Sunday morning, March 5th, 1961.
It's not a message out of order before communion. We find in the 11th chapter here, Jesus had more or less been rejected by the nation of Israel in general. And we find him upbraiding the people there and the cities. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. I tell you that all the time. The more light you get, the more words you get, the more God requires out of you. And so it's true in nations and cities. People, we find Jesus saying here in verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. Another place in the Word it says he rejoiced on this occasion. Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word before we go into it. Lift your hands and your hearts unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, pausing, Lord, to ask you to bless your Word, Father. Oh, thanking you and rejoicing for your precious Word that is a lamp under our feet and a light under our pathway, Lord. Oh, Father, asking you now, Lord, that you will reveal the Word unto us, Lord. Oh, God, we realize we can know nothing. We can learn nothing except that thou wilt reveal and show unto us, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to open every mind and heart here this morning to the Word of God, Father, and let the hearts and the minds be anointed, Father, with fresh coals from off of the altar of God, that they might see and understand. We're believing you for it because we pray in thy precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen. Praise God. The four things here, if you want to build a little stature of the cross while we preach along, you may do so. The first thing he says to do is to come unto me. And as we take up communion this morning, we're really coming unto him through the communion. Isn't that right, huh? We're coming unto the Lord through the communion table here, because he said, this is my flesh and this is my blood. Now let's stop just for a moment and consider this a passage here, because the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this week that we were to take this portion of God's Word and meditate upon it for a little season in the main service. Now, we know that primarily that that is speaking of a sinner here. When the invitation has been given here, come unto me. Come unto me. We see a threefold ministry of Jesus here as a priest and prince and prophet. And I want you to notice that. And this is the high priest talking. This is the priest talking to a sinner and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is just the precious part of God's word. And so, beloved, only the priest could say, come unto me, because Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that gave his life. He's the one that gave his life for a sacrifice. He's the one that put the blood upon the mercy seat in heaven. And so he can offer and extend the invitation to come unto me, he said. And it, oh my, it's so wonderful. This is a special class of people that he's talking about here. Notice he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the idea is this, beloved, that you have been convicted of your sin, oh my, and the idea is that you're in the same shape that that poor publican was. That word laden means to even beat your breast with grief and with sorrow. He came and he was laden. A lot of people are sinners today, but they're not laden with it. Do you know what I mean? Huh? They're not beating their chest about it. Sin hasn't become exceedingly sinful to them. They don't feel the weight. Amen. Oh my, listen, the picture is this, that a man has been convicted that he's a sinner and he's a conscious of his sin, and the sorrow are like cords pulling upon his breast, and he feels the load of sin that he's pulling behind his back, but he doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know what to do about it. He doesn't know how to get rid of it. Oh, but the cords of sorrow and anguish are tearing at his breast as he feels the load of sin being pulled behind his back. Beloved, listen. Until the Holy Ghost has convicted a man that he's a sinner, and he begins to feel godly sorrow tearing at his breast, and until he begins to feel the weight of sin behind him, it won't do him any good to come to Jesus. Did you know that? That's right. And so the invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we know that was the first class of people, was the sinner at large. Not only that, beloved, but it was talking about these people here that were bound down with a yoke of tradition and religious ceremonies. Oh, so many of God's people are in that shape today, but it don't do them any good to come until they begin to feel, beloved, the yoke of religion. Did you know that the yoke of religion is a terrible yoke? It's like that little preacher was saying here this morning. Oh, by Pentecostal people, yes, they want you to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, provided you don't get fanatic about it, provided you don't get too excited about this thing. He's already begun to get in on the secret, isn't he? And he's saying up there, if you begin to get too much on fire for God, if you begin to do too much, well, then they want to start putting the squeeze on you. They want to start yoking you down, beloved. And so many people come right under the yoke. And oh my, God's cried out in these last days for God's people to come out of mystery Babylon, come out of man's organization, beloved, and man's yoke in Nebuchadnezzar. You can't wear man's yoke and the yoke of Jesus at the same time. And so he's saying, come out from the midst of her, and that you might take on his yoke. Oh my, and Jesus was saying to those of you that are hungry and thirsting after me, oh, and the cords of desire, all is burning in your breast, and you feel the weight of man's ideas and opinions and doctrines ragging you and weighting you down. He said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen. There are two classes of rest that he mentions here this morning. The first is the gift, the one that's given by the high priest, beloved, by atonement of sin. You can't work for that. You can't labor for it. It is a gift from God. For he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Jesus has got a gift of rest, and we've all, if we've been saved this morning, we've partaken of that gift of rest. But beloved, don't stop there. There's more to this thing here. Let's look at it here. And the second thing he said for you to do, now you've got to come. A lot of times people are in that shape, but they still don't come to the Lord, because sometimes they're afraid of what man's going to say. They're afraid of what man's going to think. They're afraid of what they might have to do, and they let their fear hold them back, even though their hearts are being bruised and grieving because they would like to get out from under the yoke. Oh, so many people are bound by fear of what man going to say or think. In fact, we all are, and every one of you out there, including myself, we're not perfect in this thing, but we're being delivered more and more as we're going on, and we're caring less all the time about what man's going to say or think or do. And God wants to keep on, beloved, until he sets us free and breaks off the yoke of the fear of man. Don't be afraid of man, because man can't hurt you, and besides, if he did, he can't destroy your soul, and he can't destroy you shining for Jesus. Amen. Oh my. And so, we could just preach a long time here on this, but I want to just share a few thoughts with you that the Spirit laid upon my heart for you. And they notice the second thing he said do is take my yoke upon you. You've got to be willing to take his yoke. What is his yoke? He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So what do they put a yoke upon a horse for, or an oxen, huh? It's so they can pull something, isn't that right? Without hurting them. And so if you put the yoke on, it helps to pull. And beloved, the yoke that he's warned us to put on this morning, listen, is the yoke of his humility. And oh, it's so easy, he said, gentle and kind and soft. It's a living yoke, and it'll help you pull something. You know what he wants you to pull, huh? Oh my, instead of having all man's yoke, instead of pulling man's burden, instead of having on your own yoke of pride and pulling your own burden of sin, beloved, he's just asking you to trade your yoke for his yoke of humility, because he wants you to pull the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Oh, the devil will come to your pride and he'll try to scare you to death of what it's going to be like if you just fell out completely and go all the way for God. He'll tell you that you can't do it. He'll tell you that the cross is heavy. He'll tell you that it's impossible to go on. But beloved, he said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Oh my. And you know, when you put on the yoke of humility, beloved, it's a joy then to pull the cross of Jesus. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What's he talking about? Taking off your own yoke of pride. Deny your own yoke of pride and put on the yoke of humility. And he said, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh, and the wonderful thing is, beloved, the cross is like a plow. Listen to me. Oh, as you carry the cross of Jesus, it plows through the Word of God and unearths special treasures to your heart. And beloved, when you come to hills and you come to valleys, hard places it's hard to go through, oh, if you'll rely on the yoke and the partner in the yoke on the other side, which is Jesus. Beloved, it's the living yoke, and it's lined with his love, and his love will impart to you strength and virtue to keep on pulling the cross. And many times when you thought that you couldn't make it. And so that's the second thing he said for us to do, was to take his yoke upon us. And notice the third thing he said for you to do was to learn. He said, learn of me. That is a command. He said, to learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And beloved, Jesus is the teacher and he's the lesson. He's everything. Amen. He's the God. He's the Word. Amen. He's everything. And so he's the teacher and he's the lesson. Oh, praise God, because he set out the lesson by his life. And he said, learn of me. That's the only place you're going to learn of him. No wonder Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was already saved. He'd already come to the priest, beloved. But now he wants to come to the king and take on the yoke. You know, a king, he's got a yoke over his subjects. And so Jesus wants to be king. He wants to be yoked over you and let his yoke of humility rule and reign over your life. And he said, learn of me. That is, understand my way, understand my nature, understand my thinking, understand my will, understand everything about me. The only way you can do it, listen, is when you put your neck on one side and Jesus' neck is on the other side, and you're walking along step in step, having fellowship with the cross, drawing the cross in between you and going down the crucified way. And then when you come to hard places that you don't know how to get through, or you come to places where your flesh is stirred up, listen to me. Like some of you testified this morning, and some of the rest of us, I imagine, could testify, if you want to be honest, about your flesh having come up this morning. Maybe before you come to the house of God, or after you got to the house of God, or something like that. If you're walking along step to step with Jesus, and your flesh comes up, then you'll begin to learn of him. He'll teach you how that he would act in that situation. He will teach you, beloved, his attitude and his disposition in that situation. Walking along neck and neck with Jesus. His neck on one side and your neck on the other side. It takes two to bear a yoke, doesn't it, of oxen. And Jesus is your partner on the one side. And as long as those oxen walk a step in step, while the yoke doesn't cut. But if one begins to try to run ahead of the other or lag behind, then the yoke begins to cut upon the neck. But beloved, his yoke is easy. It's gentle. It's soft. If you walk step in step with Jesus, and when things come along, begin to learn of him, because he is the answer to your need. He is the answer to your problem. His humility, his love, his gentleness, his obedience is the answer to your problem. He said, learn of me. That's the third thing. For I am meek. And I just love this. Some people say, well, Sister Hicks, I'm just dull of learning. I'm just kindly stupid. I'm kindly ignorant. Well, we're all dull, stupid, and ignorant when it comes to the things of God, beloved. And no one knows of Jesus except through saying so. You'll never learn the things of the Father except that I teach you. I'm the only one that knows, and I'm the only teacher that can teach you. Listen to me. No one's ever too dull or too stupid, but what he's so compassionate and so meek that he'll enroll any student as a disciple and put them under the yoke, and he'll have all kinds of patience. Sometimes an earthly teacher, they're not very patient. You can ask the children that go to school, and they'll tell you that sometimes teachers are not very patient in school, and sometimes they get mad and get red in the face and scream and holler at the children and all. Jesus will never do that to you. No one's never too slow in learning or too dull, but what he won't put them under the yoke. And he's got all kinds of meekness and compassion, beloved, to teach you. And so listen, let me tell you something. Oh, learn who he is. He said, learn of me. When you stand in that day and say, Lord, I couldn't go on with you because I didn't have the intelligence of a brother so-and-so, our sister so-and-so. Lord, I couldn't learn. It was just all so dark and thick. I couldn't get it into my mind. Lord, I just couldn't. Beloved, you're going to be like that one that stood and said, Lord, I knew that you was a hard taskmaster, and I know that you reaped where you didn't sow. And he went on through that. And beloved, it's not so. He's so meek that he'll put anybody's neck there. And beloved, when he gets through teaching you, you'll learn too. I don't care who you are, you'll learn, because he's a teacher that's never been defeated in teaching and imparting into a human heart the things that's necessary for them to learn. He said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And this is another thing too, beloved. He is so lowly and so humble and so precious that no one is so far down in an occupation that he'll not stoop to teach the lowest. Amen. Oh, when he enrolled the disciples under the yoke in the day in which he lived, beloved, he didn't go to the big schools. He didn't go to the big seminaries. He went out to the seaside, and he went down by the tax collectors, and he went around in common law occupations of life, and he picked up people to put them under the yoke all of his teaching, and they walked with him and they learned of him, didn't they? Oh my, we only have to read of John's writings and Peter's writings, and even the people in that day, they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. Amen. And so, beloved, we know that they walked with him and that they learned. I don't know just how ignorant that Peter was, but we do know that he was an ignorant fisherman, and I doubt if he knew very much about books and, as the old fellow said, schoolhouse learning and all of that. But God put him under the yoke, and when God got through with Peter, he was a polished stone. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, beloved, isn't that wonderful? You see, we'll be without excuse. We'll have no excuse when we stand before him and say, Lord, I couldn't learn of you. I was too stupid. Because, beloved, his meekness and his compassion will be there to convict you in that day. You won't be able to say, Lord, I wasn't up high enough. I was just so low in occupation. Lord, it would be impossible for me to get up here and learn this. I have people say that to me all the time. This one girl that was called for Africa, the last time almost she was in this building and stood over there by that piano and told me right there by the bench, she said, Sister Hicks, I'm through running around. God wants me in this church, and I'm going to come and get the word. And I said, Sister, how many times have you told me those same words? How many times over the years you've told me to say, yes, but I mean it now. I've learned my lesson. I said, we'll see if you've learned your lesson. And she's still running. Not only that, trying to tear down and hinder people from coming to the church over here after standing and saying that, beloved. My, what in the world is wrong with people? Their words are going to convict them. And she stood right there the last time almost she was in this building. And she said, Sister Dick, I can't never learn the word like you learned it. I said, you can. Otherwise, God is a respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of persons. And beloved, he was just saying who? Those that listen. Who is the call to? Those that have the cords of sorrow cut it into the breast. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. Get your neck yoked up with my neck. And he said, and learn of me. For I'm meek. I'm humble. I've got meekness. I've got compassion. I've got patience to teach you. They don't know what they say. And so, beloved, don't you sit down and say that you can't learn the word like somebody else and you can't do this and do that. God says you can. You're reflecting on your teacher when you say that. A good teacher can teach anybody. Did you know that? Is that wonderful? He's not only meek enough, beloved, to fool with us and have patience with us, but bless God, while you're walking along, he'll be imparting it into your heart and soul. Amen. And as you get his meekness and his humility, beloved, it'll give you power to understand many things that you don't understand right now. And so people will be without excuse in that day because he said, learn of me, for I'm meek. and lowly in heart. And yet this same person that says that she can't learn the word, she can learn anything else, she can go to Bible school and pass all, and she comes back and brags about how she's made a pastor test and just got through telling me when she was standing there that she'd been back up to some Bible school in East and they'd had all these hard lessons and everything, and she come out making the best grades and yet turn around and say she can't learn the word. Learn anything else? Beloved, we can learn the word even if you can't learn anything else. You can learn the word of God. Amen. And so now then, notice the fourth thing here, and we see it's the king, beloved, that's got power to place the yoke upon you. It's the king that's got power to give gifts unto you so that you can learn. Amen. He's the priest, he's the prince, and he's the prophet. Look at now the fourth thing, and he said, and ye shall find... Ye shall find. Now this rest unto your soul, that's another class of rest that you're going to find by searching for it and by meeting the condition to get it. The first rest that you get is a gift from God. Rest for your poor, weary, sin-sick soul. And beloved, this second rest is a rest that we find as we go on for God and meet the condition. Let's look at that for just a moment over here in Hebrews. In the fourth chapter there, we find God speaking about a day of rest. The Lord wants us to have a rest. What kind of rest is He talking about? Beloved, that rest that comes from growing up in the stature, that rest that comes from keeping your heart and your mind stayed upon the Lord. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God because he trusteth in thee. Let's look at it now. Well, let's just start in the first verse. He said, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. He's talking about Israel, that she did not enter into Canaan's rest, which was the type or picture of the day when the Lord rested on the seventh day there. She didn't enter in because she did not believe the word that was preached unto her. What was the word that was preached unto her? That she could possess the land, you see? She didn't really learn. She didn't get the yoke on good enough. And she didn't learn good enough as she was going through the wilderness. And when she came up to Canaan's land, and God said, now's the time to go over. And they sent in spies, and they brought back the fruit, and even had to carry the grapes on a pole there because the bunches were so tremendous. Can you imagine such large clusters of grapes far beyond the imagination of any man? And those spies came back and they said, there's giants over there in the land and we're grasshoppers. They didn't believe God's word. But God said, you can take the land. There's a lot of people when we preach, listen to me, that you can go on for God and you can grow up in the stature. You've got to believe that. If you don't believe it, you'll never start trying to possess the stature of Jesus. You'll just sit out. It doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation, but it means that you'll not enter in to that realm of rest that God has prepared for you, beloved. And he says here in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. My. Beloved, if you'll just rest from the works of your own pride and your own flesh, it's a hard job God has given us to do, to rest from our own works. And the only way he can do it is to get you to crucify the works of the flesh. Did you know that? And rest in God. Cease from your own work. All right, let's see how does this matter work here. You ever notice when somebody starts talking about you, what do you do? Do you know about the hammock of humility, and you just crawl over into it and just lay down and rest and worship and praise God for suffering? Or does the flesh start working inside of you? The wheels start turning, and your mind starts suffering, and you start feeling so bad within yourself. You start feeling so depressed and oppressed and so discouraged and so disheartened, huh? You know why you do that? Because you haven't ceased from your own works. It takes God to crucify the works of the flesh that you might cease from them, as God did from his. Now, verse 11, notice this. He said, let us labor. Now, that's what I want you to notice. He said, and ye shall find. Back over in Matthew, the prophet prophesied, ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now, to find, you've got to seek. Isn't that right? Jesus said, if we seek, ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, he said, labor to enter into this rest. That's not the gift of rest, is it, huh? That we get from the salvation of sin, because we don't have to labor for that. He said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then he goes on and shows how the Word of God will help you to enter into this thing. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to help you to enter into this rest. Help you to cut away those things that will hinder you and keep you from entering in. The high priest is there in heaven, making intercession at the right hand of God, beloved, to help you to enter into this rest. And so he said, let us labor that we might enter in to this rest. He said, seek, and ye shall find. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to have rest of mind.